All right, last couple of weeks, training camp schedules have been early mornings, and then practice is breaking right around now. We haven't been able to have our friend Mr. John Keim in his normal spot, but things are kind of settling down into a regular season schedule, and John Keim joins us now. What's up, dude? How are you?
What up, guys?
We're doing well. I guess we can start with the news of the day. Of course, John Keim is the Commanders insider for ESPN, and you can check him out at the John Keim Report on YouTube as well. Kicker, they traded for one. What do you make of Cade York? So long, Riley Patterson.
I know my son in Ohio, who is a Browns fan, complained about him every week 2 years ago. That's what I know. He's got a big, strong leg. So I think he's a guy that is worth a shot at getting a conditional seventh-round pick. I don't know the conditions, but, you know, obviously they're typically playtime-related. He was good enough to be drafted. And, you know, I think he's worth a shot. I mean, they have to do something. And, I mean, Riley Patterson just didn't look good this summer. We watched him in practice. I mean, it was very inconsistent at best. And he had a decent track record. So you never know with kickers. But I do think York is worth a gamble on because he does have that strong leg. And if he hits, then you've got your guy for a little while. And if he doesn't, then you got to find another guy.
He was like 160-something. Out of 160-something tries in college, he missed two or three extra points.
Extra points, yeah.
How accurate is he with the kicks? What's your son say about the kicks?
So, as a rookie, he was 24 out of 32. The problem was he's just very inconsistent. And that's with kickers, if you make a couple more a year now, you look like you're pretty decent. But those numbers aren't great. But the troubling part was, like, between 30 and 39, he only made 9 out of 12. And that's where, like, you've got to
miss those.
No, you can't. And, you know, I know, like, I will say, though, again, he's got a strong leg. I think in his first game, he made a 58-yard game-winning kick to beat Carolina. So, and then after that, it was just really, you know, I think, you know, their thinking was you had your guy now, and then after that, it was just really inconsistent. And then Dustin Hopkins goes there and, becomes the guy. And so, what I know, Beamish, is as a rookie, he was inconsistent. But again, he's got that strong leg. And punting, kicking, those things take time to develop in the NFL. So you don't know when a guy is going to click with it. And so you're going to take a chance on a guy with a strong leg. It's just the same thing with a guy, you know, position player. You're going to take a chance on size and speed all the time to see if you can get that guy. If that clicks for him, then they've got a guy for a while.
I'm talking with our friend John Keim here on the BetQL guest line. You can follow John at John_Keim, K-E-I-M. The kicker thing's been a problem. They thought they had answered it with McManus,
right?
And then whatever happened with McManus, they had to move forward. Like, they've kind of been in scramble mode. I don't know about York. I checked in with somebody from Cleveland this morning, and they were like, he looked pretty bad this summer. So we'll see. I think there's a reason it's a conditional seventh.
Correct. And listen, I don't sit here and say the search is over. You know what I mean? Like, if he doesn't come in and do anything, if he comes in and looks really bad, you can still claim a guy next week. I mean, you know what I mean? But I do think, like, they had to look for something else, and they're going to have to continue. Like, I do know that, you know, I had heard the same thing, like, in practice they're, you know, kind of inconsistent, but he made two in a game. So we'll see. I don't consider this necessarily, okay, search is over, next position. I think he's got to come in here and has a lot. He still has to prove himself for sure.
Yeah, I agree with you. This time of year is like projection season, and everybody's trying to – I'm sure, like, I go to the grocery store. I'm sure the same thing happens to you. How do they look? How do they look? And I think it's really tough because if you want to go off the numbers last year pretty much across the board suck, right?
Yeah.
But this team is dramatically different. How do you answer the simple grocery store question, John? How do they look?
Well, first of all, people do ask me when I go to the grocery store, they say, hey, what does JP think? How do they look? So we do have that in common. So, you know, the thing that I will always say, like, we can look at the roster, we can look at the names, and you can say, you can make your judgment on what you think of that particular player. What we don't know yet is, well, first of all, there's a couple things. One, I think we can all agree that the vibe out there is dramatically different and better. And what? Yeah. How much difference does that make, right? How much difference is it the fact that these guys like being out there, like being together? What difference will that make? Then, more importantly, the coaching aspect. How much, you know, will that make a difference from game planning to, you know, defensive schemes to the way they're going to try and apply pressure, et cetera? So those are the things that we still don't know. You know, I kind of look at this team, you know, you go in the offseason or going into training camp, like it kind of has that, the roster looks like, and with some improvements, you look like, okay, 7-win team, right? You kind of go to that point, but yep. The unknown can push that higher. Like, what impact does it have on them? How quickly does Jaden Daniels become a more of an impact player? Or can they do things to maybe, you know, help him develop into one, right? Not having to rely on him. And those are the things, like, what's the impact of the run game? We don't know because we didn't see it last year, and we don't know what it's going to look like this year. We know they're going to try it more. How much does that help? You know, how much better is the defense? I mean, you can't be worse, and it won't be worse, but how much better is it? Is it enough to offset some of what they don't have? Because we still have questions about the outside corners, like, you know, whether it's how big a concern it is, you know, see, but I think they still have to answer questions during the regular season. And we don't know, like, the offensive line is new, and, you know, how is the tackle play going to be? What's the impact on the scheme and the coaching and the quarterback play on them? Because there were times, like, shoot, Jaden Daniels dropped back 15 times, wasn't sacked. There were definitely times guys are beat and the ball is out. Like, he should have been, he wasn't even hit on some of these plays where guys are beat because of how quickly he got rid of the ball. Now, will that continue in the regular season? So there's just a lot to be still be determined, and I think the intangible part is the part that what's the impact of all of that?
This is the question I want to know. We talk about the quarterback and the offense all the time. What's the major concern other than that on the defense side? Because I know we keep saying the secondary. I think I look back to last year, there was no pressure outside or inside.
Right. Listen, if you can apply pressure, you know that it changes things. The other thing, too, B. Mitch, with the secondary, I like the safeties. I mean, you know, so you kind of have to – really, it's about the outside corners. Like, we know that they have to answer those questions. But what is the impact on possibly better rushes or also better disguised coverages? Like, we haven't seen that yet, right? You know, and we didn't see a lot of it last year, so – that can cause a quarterback to hold just a little bit longer, right? And then can you force them into some mistakes? And maybe you're not the greatest statistically, but can you do what they did in Dallas, which is create takeaways? And so that comes with applying pressure. And they don't have Micah Parsons, but I think they do have coaches who know how to try to scheme it better to apply that. Too often the last few years it was, hey, here's the four number one picks. Go get them, fellas. And they did.
Yeah, totally.
And so I think, like, that is a big part of the puzzle here is, like, what's – you know, and I know, like, Dorrance Armstrong, Farrell, Dante Fowler, like, those guys aren't, like, considered, like, elite pass rushers, but they are pros. And Armstrong can help, you know, better than what they had last year after the trade and in some cases before the trade. So – you know what I mean? Like, I think that part is a not to be determined. I do think, like, there's going to be an impact on that, but how much of one is what we'll have to see. But yeah, I mean, to me, the outside corners are the ones that they still have to answer. And the other part is, like, we're watching them in the preseason and seeing certain things. Well, is that what they're going to do, or is it what they're trying to see what they can do?
Yeah, you know, I feel like, I'm curious if you agree with this. Specific to the pass rush, I think the floor of the pass rush is higher because I think it will be more cohesive. I think they'll rush as a group more, and I think there will be more schematic ways to generate pressures, right?
Yes.
So I think the floor goes up. I just don't know what the ceiling is, and I don't know, dude. Like if you look at Vegas numbers, or these are I guess these are actually offshore books. I don't think like DraftKings offers this stuff, but the sack totals you can bet on, kind of remarkable. Washington's is the same this year as it was last year. And it's like 37.5, wow. Something like that.
And which what do they have?
It's bottom five in the NFL. and I think that I get the excitement around Luvu and all these things, but still, I'm not expecting there to be like this scout. Unless Armstrong proves that with more snaps, more playing time, he can become a double-digit guy.
Right, and I don't know that that's who they expect him to be. And you might be surprised to learn that I haven't looked at the offshore books just yet.
But, that's what I'm here for, Johnny.
Yes, I know.
You break down the tape, I'll check out what's going on in the Caymans.
There you go. I do, like, I mean, losing Montez Sweat is a big deal, right? And you know, that will still sting to them. Because it's hard to replace guys like that. And, you know, is Armstrong going to be that guy? Well, that's not necessarily who he's been, but he does give you some versatility and the ability to rush inside at times as well. And I think what's the impact then on Payne and Allen inside? And because they both went down, they both had their numbers, you know, they weren't as effective last year for whatever reason. And part of that is the synchronicity of that group up front, and it wasn't there. It never really was there long enough, right? So how much does that help them? Or how much can they create situations for them to be in one-on-ones to do some damage? I think that's where I'm going to look as much as anybody, because that's where those are their two best linemen. And Luvu's impact, I think, will be pretty solid for sure. But the number, you know, like, I think if you get similar number of sacks, but you apply better pressure, then that's a win, right? I think it's as much the pressure rate and what you're doing, forcing the quarterbacks to do. Are they comfortable back there? Despite, you know, shoot, I've seen guys get sacks who don't apply a lot of pressure otherwise, right? So I think I'd look at the pressure rate as well. And again, like, to me, a big key of that is the ability to disguise coverage, because when you can do that, now you have a better chance to let those guys get home.
Yeah, the pressure needs to be more consistent.
Correct.
Because when you watch quarterbacks drop back and pat, and then they move and pat again. Too much.
Yeah.
And if we're going to, like, I know we went through our little moments of, oh, we got four first rounders. I don't care what round they drafted in. If they're not making pressure, they need to know about it.
Right.
I think that's fair.
Yeah.
And, John, I wanted to ask you, with the, I don't know if you've seen any of this, but a lot of folks, there's some anxiety brewing about Kingsbury's offense based on what we've seen in three drives with Jaden Daniels at the helm. I think it's a little premature for that.
Just a little bit.
Where do you get, I think what we've seen in practice looks a lot different than necessarily what we've seen on the field in the preseason. What do you make? We get to talk to Cliff today. What do you make of Cliff as play caller?
Well, I think he evolved in Arizona. I know that part of the knock there was second half of the year, that, you know, people there felt like they didn't adjust well enough in the second half of the seasons, and their typically offense would go down. Now, some of that could also be related to quarterback health. It could be related to maybe the quarterback, maybe they didn't know it well enough to do a lot of adjustments, you know, based on what we've heard about Kyler Murray, right? So I don't know, but I do know that people that I talked to, a defensive coach in the league, felt like he had evolved. What we also know, and they said it in the spring, and Brian Robinson talked about they're going to be a lot more no-huddle, and you look at his numbers there, and they ran a lot of no-huddle, hurry-up stuff, right? So yeah. I would expect that, and I think the big thing was with the moving of Terry McLaurin around, and I know there was that one stat, but I'm not going to go, you know, we both know they have different plans for Terry McLaurin.
Yeah,
and
I think also didn't Cliff say, well, when I first went to Arizona, I just had Texas Tech to fall back on. He didn't know anything else. Now he has the influence of these other guys that have been head coaches and coaching in the NFL where he feels his offense is going to be different. They have a different influence.
Sure.
And I think that right there is going to help his offense. And also, it's going to throw a monkey wrench in the people that think they automatically know what Cliff is trying to do.
Sure. What is the other part? Like, Brian Johnson and Anthony Lynn, they're coming from different perspectives. And so what is their influence? The other way he evolved there, too, is the usage of tight ends. You know, in Arizona, they started using a lot more two tight end looks, which I think we're going to see a lot of this year, and the run game as well. And I think those things, the combination of all that. But, yeah, if people think, like, they're showing all that they're going to do, like, that's kind of silly. Like, that's never happened in the preseason. I know some teams show a little bit more, and you see a reverse and all that, and you think, oh, my God. But that's not really showing a lot, right? It's, you know, there's still a lot remember back in 2012 when Robert was here, and, you know, we watched him in the preseason, we watched him all summer, and then in the first game, they looked dramatically different than they had when we watched them. So
right.
There's still way more to learn about what Kingsbury's going to do, given the influence of Anthony Lynn, who is a respected voice, and given the influence of Brian Johnson, who also I would consider a respected voice, who people in Philly kind of feel like he got thrown under the bus there. So,
100%.
You know, so I think there's, like, again, that's the part about all of this. There's so much more to learn about the impact of this group together, not just Kingsbury running the show. If he was a head coach, maybe it's a little bit different. You know, I think there's still definitely more to learn about this. And I also, again, the impact of, like, Jaden Daniels, what's his learning curve with all this? I mean, we know what we've heard about the study habits, et cetera, which is all, you know, you can see it already that he feels like he's further ahead. So what is he going to be able to handle? That also allows Kingsbury to expand his offense.
I'm with you, man. Everything could look incredibly different. And I think some of the looks, some of the formations that we've seen, I think there's going to be a lot of variety.
Yeah.
And I think we just got to chill a little bit with the
Some of the rise
of analytics is people start applying math, like the start applying numbers to
they're
stuff where the sample isn't.
When I start
real.
Seeing a helmet on those numbers, then I'm gonna care about it 100%.
Yeah, I think there's context is always needed, and if we see this in the first four games of the regular season, that's different than in the first two preseason games with a rookie quarterback. And you know, again, like I think the other, you know, what also helps an offense. Guys who make big plays. You know, so, like, you can do all this, and if Jaden Daniels goes out there and makes some big throws and big plays, like, all right. But I think there's just, like, why would you go out right now and show all that you're going to do in a new situation? You're not.
Right.
You're just not.
Totally.
So,
I've been quite impressed by Jaden. I cannot wait to see him in the regular season.
Yeah.
Do you think we see him Sunday night? I do not.
Oh, I don't think so. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know that there's much value in that. I mean, there's always value in playing a game. I just don't think that they're going to put him out there and put a lot of the starters out there, especially when there's some roster decisions. I think that they, you know, I don't know how many you'd say that are on the line, but that they need to know more about.
Yeah,
and this
for
is
sure.
a good chance for them to see it.
John, thank you for the time.
I appreciate
man. See you in a little bit.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, man.
That's our guy, John Keim. Give him a follow at John_Keim, K-E-I-M. I've known John a long time. I've always enjoyed working with him. Somebody else I've known for a long time that I've always enjoyed working with is Orsman Automotive of Virginia. Seriously, I was thinking about this morning because I was on the phone with Biagi this morning. Driving out to Ashburn today in my fourth different vehicle purchased from various Orsman, Virginia stores. It's kind of wild when you think about how long we've been doing all this. Working with Orsman, man, my wife drives a Sequoia. I drive the 4Runner now. We got both of those at Orsman Fairfax Toyota. Prior to that, my wife was driving a GMC that we got at Orsman Chevy Buick GMC in Alexandria. I go to these guys, these people, because they take care of us. And part of the way they take care of us, they got all the makes, all the models. You could buy a car anywhere. Mm-hmm. It's the people and the service that make a difference, and it's that Orsman Lifetime Edge.
Yep, I absolutely love the Orsman Lifetime Edge. That's why I've been buying cars from them, and I go there all the time. They give you up to $1,500 in extras, including a complimentary car wash with every scheduled maintenance. They give you a loaner cars with every major maintenance and a lifetime engine guarantee. And this is the thing about when they give you that loaner car, all these other companies, they want you to pay for it. Orsman takes care of it and say, hey, just bring the gas back wherever it's at. Don't worry about filling it up. And there's more good news. They have, if you have a car to sell, go to Orsman. They will pay you up to 125% of the Kelley Blue Book value, regardless of its make, model, or year. It's simple. At Orsman, they like to keep their customers happy. So take it from JP and I, two beyond satisfied Orsman customers, and let's ride together.
Source confirmed.
Big news.
To me. This is a big one. Jahan Dotson traded to the Philadelphia Eagles. Washington is sending Jahan and a fifth-round pick to Philly. In turn, they're getting a third-rounder
and
two-sevenths back. This is pretty remarkable, folks. We've been talking about it plenty. I've been telling you there's no way this guy's getting cut. All those things you've heard, that was not it, but it has not seemed like it's going well. We discussed body language. We discussed lots of different things. Dotson, it hasn't really seemed like a fit throughout the summer. And if Dotson's an outside guy, he didn't seem like an outside guy in Cliff's system. Is he a slot guy? This is pretty significant. This is a first rounder just a few seasons ago.
Yep.
I mean, the amount of picks that that are still left on this team is remarkable. It's also crazy to go back to what looked like such a promising.
It did.
I mean, his rookie season, he had 7 touchdowns.
He did. You look at it, 84 for over 1,000 and 11 touchdowns in 2 years.
Yeah.
But the ultimate thing is.
Now, that's in 29 games.
No, still. Yeah. But my whole thing is people like to sit and they're overly concerned about where someone is traded. When a person doesn't fit your system and they may not be what you're looking for or how you're doing what you need them to do, you trade them to whoever. Because if you're going to get better by the trade, the picks you're picking, you don't care about what somebody else does. We got to get over that thing about, oh, in the division, who cares?
Philly's aggressive. Peters is aggressive. I mean, think about it. They've already worked. They did a draft day trade earlier this year. This is breaking news. It's a big deal. I can't say I'm stunned by this. I mean, we've talked about it. We did our best to kind of avoid naming names, and I think – nobody wants there to be bad blood. I think Dan Quinn went out of his way to try to talk about how much he likes Dotson after the Miami game. But I think these guys showed up wanting him to be.
Compete. They wanted him to be what they expected. And, you know, we all make comments and we say things. And I think somebody on the thread had said, I think it was like last week or something, after Dan spoke. They were like, well, probably trying to make him look better so they could trade him. And bam, lo and behold, what happens?
Yeah. I mean, now the teams are officially announcing it. If you look at the Eagles now, dude, you're talking about A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, and Dotson is like a wide receiver 3. I think Jahan Dotson, if he's going to – listen, first-rounders generally don't get traded in their third season if everything's going well. I think there's got to be some looking in the mirror for Jahan. I think the one big question with him coming out of college was, could he get off press coverage in the NFL? I'm not so sure that question has been answered. And now he's going to have a better offense to try to figure it out.
Yeah.
But this just continues this trend of the Rivera picks when they were smarter than everybody else. And they knew better than everybody. And you don't want to belabor it. Like, what's done is done. And these guys didn't make the picks. Peters did not make any of these picks.
Not at all.
But there was a time when everybody was saying how great Washington's decision to trade back was because they were able to get Howell and Dotson.
Yeah.
And so Washington had the 11th pick.
That's why I always say, Jay, it takes more than 1 year. We got to see.
Yo, they had the 11th pick. They traded back to 16. At 11, the Saints took Olave, who looks like a stud. At 12, the Lions took Jameson Williams, who, you know, has shown some real flashes, but was coming back from a big injury. 13, the Eagles took Jordan Davis. 14, and this one is just a killer miss, the Ravens took Kyle Hamilton, a safety. It's just all very, very significant.
Well, I did listen, man. We've watched the play this offseason. I've watched different things, and a lot of stuff told me something was going on or something wasn't right. And the ultimate thing is you got a new staff comes in. They're going to make moves based off of their mindset, what they see going forward. And who I don't care if you're first rounder from another regime or not. They have to make the decisions. Jahan is going to a place where, you know, he has receivers on that squad, two of them, where he should be able to get a lot of one-on-one matchups. And, like, this is a point where you look inside, okay? You don't look to point fingers at anybody. You look inside of you. And you say, what can I do to make sure this doesn't happen again? What can I do to make sure I become an asset to whoever I'm going to? That's all he has to do.
Dude, I just like that it's proactive. These guys, you know, Dan Quinn said earlier there are no sacred cows. Like, there's a lot of organizations where a first-round pick moving him out for a third rounder 2 years later wouldn't be allowed, wouldn't be accepted. But they are tearing this thing down and rebuilding it how they want. And I think there is real value in that. I do think it's a pretty big L for Washington. There's no other way to look at it. But the L isn't on the guys running the operation now.
Mm-hmm.
This is a big damn deal. If you just got in your car, Jahan Dotson traded to the Philadelphia Eagles. Phone lines open now, 800-636-1067. We'll be right back. Bishop Finley, 1067, the Fan. Oh, boy. Busy, busy day here on the Fan. Jahan Dotson, if you're just getting in your car, Jahan Dotson has been traded to the Philadelphia Eagles. It tells you a lot about Jahan Dotson's perceived value around the league right now. Mm-hmm. He has up to 3 years remaining on that contract. He definitely two, and there's a third-year player option, right? Yeah. A team option, rather, because he's a first-round pick. Up to 3 years of control and a very muted salary for a wideout.
Yeah.
And they had to send a fifth to get a third back. Dude, that you have to also send a fifth is pretty wild.
I don't know. I mean,
it's got three. I'm just saying, it says a lot about what the league thinks.
It could be the league, or it could be that this team wanted to get a deal done, and they were willing to do whatever they can to make sure they can move forward. Now, I am sitting here with a mindset that I don't think this is over. I don't think it's a final move. I think that something else is coming.
What else do you think?
I don't know. I just have a gut feeling that they didn't do this just to sit stand pat.
At the receiver position?
Yeah, I think it's something else.
Would you want them to do something else?
If they feel that they can, yes, go for it. Listen, bro, I'm not going to sit up here and question the people that are paid to do it. And if they did this move to make sure they can move forward, because that's probably the guy with the most value, that they could have gotten something for it, then you make that move and you go forward with it. Listen, I have said it over and over again. I care about this team becoming good again. I'm not tied at the hip to no damn body on this team if they can do something, make a move and get somebody and make it better. Because it's been bad for a long damn time. So if the moves they make are going to make it better, go for it.
I mean, if you were going to make a move for another wideout, one, you clear the space, and then you have an extra third, and the two sevens if you want to.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's very interesting for you to say that because that's out of character for you. Mm-hmm. And everybody kind of went crazy on your – the last time you talked about
maybe – I can care less what they say. Yeah, like I told you before, one thing about me, when I got a feeling and I know what I know, I don't give a damn about the people that don't know what the hell they're talking about 99% of the time.
I looked this up. The trade – when the Saints went up to 11, Washington traded back to 16. 2022 NFL draft, okay? Mm-hmm. New Orleans Saints took Chris Olave, Ohio State wide receiver at number 11. Washington, in turn, from that trade, got to take Jahan Dotson at 16. Mm-hmm. They also got an extra third rounder. They took Brian Robinson. Extra fifth rounder, they took Sam Howell. And I think a sixth, they got Cole Turner. Mm-hmm. Dotson is now gone, traded to Philly. Howell, gone, traded to Seattle. Robinson firmly on the team. Cole Turner fighting for a roster spot. I'd keep him, but that's up to the powers that be. In two seasons, if you just stay at the pick, B, in two seasons in New Orleans, Chris Olave has 159 catches and 2,165 yards.
Yeah.
Not to mention you could have taken Kyle Hamilton.
But see, this, we say it all the time. When a new staff come in, they're not tied to anybody here. But when they rolled in here, who did they hook anchors with? Brian Robinson. Because that dude brings you effort and competition and a mindset every day. You have to do that. If you don't do that, then a lot of times people, listen, man, I think it was when Chick asked him, did they watch body language? He said yes. Body language speaks. And he's not the only one with the body language that was showing the body language that was not a positive. Anybody else, you might have some worries.
Phone lines are open, 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. They took an L on this trade. Could it be part of something bigger? Maybe. But it also tells you what the value was around the NFL when a first-round pick that has proven he can play at this level. His rookie year, he was pretty good. A first-round pick traded away with up to 3 years of team value, and you got to send a fifth just to get a third back. This is wild. Let's let Toothpick kick us off. What up, Pick?
Hey, when you land and the first thing you hear is Jahan Dotson's gone, it makes you want to get back on the plane and turn around. But like D said, this don't seem like it's over. It's got to be a little bit more to a third round, a 2 7th rounders. It's like we stockpiling something to make another move. So this is chess, not checkers. You know what I mean?
It might not be. Listen, it could be, but it could just be they want to get Jahan gone, frankly. Like, maybe they go get CeeDee Lamb. Maybe they go get Brandon Ayuk. I'm not sure any of that happens, right? Mm-hmm. It is interesting. Now, in the last few hours, they traded for a kicker and traded away Jahan Dotson. They are clearly taking care of family business. Mm-hmm. This is like the baptism scene in The Godfather, right? But we also have to prepare ourselves. This may just be a world where they wanted Dotson gone. Like, it might be that simple.
It could be.
But
I think the ultimate thing is he's gone. They made moves. And you have to worry about what they are trying to do. And we said it from the beginning. Everybody lost their damn minds when they brought Adam Peters in. We say they got the right guy first.
Yep.
Whatever he does, he does. At this point, if that's the guy that we all felt in the league say was the best out there, and you got this guy to come rebuild your team, you let him build your team. If you go out here and you get the best damn builder to build your house, and he starts building it, and he told you what the architect said and how he's going to do some things. When he starts doing it, you can't say, no, I don't want that. Change up. No, this is their decision. Go with it.
Breaking news on The Fan. If you haven't heard, Jahan Dotson traded to the Philadelphia Eagles. Taking your calls next. Right back. Bishop Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Oh, boy. Busy, busy day here on The Fan. Jahan Dotson, if you're just getting in your car, Jahan Dotson has been traded to the Philadelphia Eagles. It tells you a lot about Jahan Dotson's perceived value around the league right now. Mm-hmm. He has up to 3 years remaining on that contract. He definitely two, and there's a third-year player option, right? Yeah. A team option, rather, because he's a first-round pick. Up to 3 years of control and a very muted salary for a wideout.
Yeah.
And they had to send a fifth to get a third back. Dude, that you have to also send a fifth is pretty wild.
I don't know. I mean,
it's got three. I'm just saying, it says a lot about what the league thinks.
It could be the league, or it could be that this team wanted to get a deal done, and they were willing to do whatever they can to make sure they can move forward. Now, I am sitting here with a mindset that I don't think this is over. I don't think it's a final move. I think that something else is coming.
What else do you think?
I don't know. I just have a gut feeling that they didn't do this just to sit stand pat
at the receiver position.
Yeah, I think it's something else.
Would you want them to do something else?
If they feel that they can, yes, go for it. Listen, bro, I'm not going to sit up here and question the people that are paid to do it. And if they did this move to make sure they can move forward, because that's probably the guy with the most value, that they could have gotten something for it, then you make that move and you go forward with it. Listen, I have said it over and over again. I care about this team becoming good again. I'm not tied at the hip to no damn body on this team if they can do something, make a move and get somebody and make it better. Because it's been bad for a long damn time. So if the moves they make are going to make it better, go for it.
I mean, if you were going to make a move for another wideout, one, you clear the space, and then you have an extra third and the 2 sevens if you want to.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's very interesting for you to say that, because that's out of character for you. Mm-hmm. And everybody kind of went crazy on the last time you talked about
maybe. I can care less what they say. Yeah, like I told you before, one thing about me, when I got a feeling and I know what I know, I don't give a damn about the people that don't know what the hell they're talking about 99% of the time.
I looked this up. The trade, when the Saints went up to 11, Washington traded back to 16. 2022 NFL draft, okay?
Mm-hmm.
New Orleans Saints took Chris Olave, Ohio State wide receiver at number 11. Washington, in turn, from that trade, got to take Jahan Dotson at 16.
Mm-hmm.
They also got an extra third rounder. They took Brian Robinson. Extra fifth rounder, they took Sam Howell. And I think a sixth, they got Cole Turner.
Mm-hmm.
Dotson is now gone, traded to Philly. Howell, gone, traded to Seattle. Robinson firmly on the team. Cole Turner fighting for a roster spot. I'd keep him, but that's up to the powers that be. In two seasons, if you just stay at the pick, B, in two seasons in New Orleans, Chris Olave has 159 catches and 2,165 yards.
Yeah.
Not to mention you could have taken Kyle Hamilton.
But see, this, like, and we say it all the time. When a new staff come in, they're not tied to anybody here. But when they rolled in here, who did they hook anchors with? Brian Robinson. Because that dude brings you effort and competition and a mindset every day. You have to do that. If you don't do that, then a lot of times, people, listen, man, I think it was, Chick asked him, did they watch body language? He said yes. Body language speaks. And he's not the only one with the body language. That was showing the body language that was not a positive. Anybody else, you might have some worries.
Phone lines are open. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. They took an L on this trade. Could it be part of something bigger? Maybe. But it also tells you what the value was around the NFL when a first-round pick that has proven he can play at this level. His rookie year, he was pretty good. A first-round pick traded away with up to 3 years of team value, and you got to send a fifth just to get a third back. This is wild. Let's let Toothpick kick us off. What up, Pick?
Hey, when you land and the first thing you hear is Jahan Dotson's gone, it makes you want to get back on the plane and turn around. But like Dee said, this don't seem like it's over. It's got to be a little bit more to it. A third round, a 2 7th rounders. It's like we stockpiling something to make another move. So this is chess, not checkers. You know what I mean?
It might not be. Listen, it could be, but it could just be they want to get Jahan gone, frankly. Like, maybe they go get CeeDee Lamb. Maybe they go get Brandon Ayuk. I'm not sure any of that happens, right? Mm-hmm. It is interesting. Now, in the last few hours, they traded for a kicker and traded away Jahan Dotson. They are clearly taking care of family business. Mm-hmm. This is like the baptism scene in The Godfather, right? But we also have to prepare ourselves. This may just be a world where they wanted Dotson gone. Like, it might be that simple.
It could be.
But
I think the ultimate thing is he's gone. They made moves. And you have to worry about what they are trying to do. And we said it from the beginning. Everybody lost their damn minds when they brought Adam Peters in. We say they got the right guy first.
Yep.
Whatever he does, he does. At this point, if that's the guy that we all felt in the league say was the best out there, and you got this guy to come rebuild your team, you let him build your team. If you go out here and you get the best damn builder to build your house, and he starts building it, and he told you what the architect said and how he's going to do some things. When he starts doing it, you can't say, no, I don't want that. Change up. No, this is their decision. Go with it.
Breaking news on The Fan. If you haven't heard, Jahan Dotson traded to the Philadelphia Eagles. Taking your calls next.